welcome to this week's edition of the Pop Buzz Podcast, your number one destination for all that's been good in the world of music and the internet. I'm your host, James. Joining me as ever are the rest of the Pop Buzz team in the corner, our very own Hermione Granger. It's Katie. Say hello, Katie.
Hermione?
Wow, which would you rather
be? I'm a Slytherin.
Okay, still, pick a Slytherin you want to be. You want to be Draco? You want to be Draco Malfoy. Yeah. Our very own Draco Malfoy, Katie, is in the corner. Say hello, Katie. Hello. And our very own Dobby the House Elf, it's Woody. Say hello, Woody.
Shady.
Wear it with pride. He's a much beloved character.
And he's free now. Oh, no, he's
exactly.
dead.
Oh, no, he's dead. And he's dead. Spoilers. He's dead on
free
a
free and dead.
Yeah, he's both free and he is dead. Absolutely. I mentioned these Harry Potter characters because it's something of a book special this week, guys. We had two very exciting guests through the week. Later on, you'll be hearing from comedian Joe Lycett. He's got his brand new book based on his stand-up. He was hilarious, wasn't he, Woody? He was really
good
form. Yeah, he's such a nice guy. Welcome back anytime. And also, we chatted to the brilliant Jamie Morton, who you might know from his rather successful podcast, My Dad Wrote a Porno.
I think it's
like only trailing us just behind by a few million listeners, right?
Uh-huh.
Just certainly slightly less.
We're not worthy.
We are not worthy. No, it was great to have him in. Actually, they've got a new book out. It's like a Spark Notes version, a study guide to their podcast and the book within it. We'll explain that later on, so stick around for them. But first, let's look at the week's biggest stories in WTF news. News, 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 news. What the f*** is happening in the news? First up, breaking news, Vine is no more. Ladies and gentlemen, Vine is dead. Sure, you've all seen this. So Twitter, the recent owners of Vine, they've decided it's going to all be shut down. The app's going away. The Vines will remain online as a website up there, but you will not be able to produce any more. Are we sad about this, guys? Are we sad? We've been going through some of our favourite Vines today, I know, obviously. I mean, any particular ones that have stood out for you so far?
I know me and Woody have the same favourite one.
Yeah, this is like a Pop Buzz favourite. When did we even discover it?
I don't know.
It's like last year. It's a vine of two dogs in a car, like skidding across the ice, soundtracked by One Direction, What a Feeling.
Which is a beautiful piece of nonsense. And I think this is the thing. This is why I think Vine will actually be quite missed, because it was the one place where you could just do the stupidest ideas.
Stupid.
They're so quick and easy to do. And like, yeah, that wouldn't land on YouTube or whatever, would it? It's just a very, very silly idea.
No, even saying it out loud, it's not that funny.
Yeah, like, I'll be honest with you. That's not funny when you said that. But I've seen it and I know it's funny.
It's there was a charm to that website. However, no, I probably won't miss it. I mean, it's kind of been...
It's had its moment
on other sites, you know. You can do exactly the same thing.
It's had its moment. I mean, our personal favourite, I mean, you were putting some up on our Twitter feed last night, Katie, but all the Carly Rae Jepsen edits. Still bring a tear to my eye. A toy seal, is it? Just playing the Runaway With Me intro.
Saxophone.
Oh, just fills me with delight. I mean, as long as that's still around, I'll survive without Vine. But I think in tribute, we should, of course, have a little moment of silence. Let's have a little 6-second silence, shall we, in memory of Vine. Actually, it's too long. Let's do it at four. It's not nice, is it? 4 seconds I'll have to do. I'm sorry, boys, you're gone. Well, next up, this is very interesting. Melanie Martinez, friend of the show, and an actual friend of the show. We have had her in before. She's very, very nice. Not on this show, but she's been in. But yeah, new perfume product has just been launched with the creepiest commercial I have seen in a very, very long time. So describe it for me, Woody. What happened there?
It starts off really nice, and then she turns into a bit of a psycho, and which is kind of very Melanie, actually.
It's playing off the crybaby thing, isn't it, before? Like, it's meant to be like a baby's milk thing. Actually, Kate, have you got the description there? Let's run through the official transcript.
Okay. The first impression is a complicitly dark, fruity note, while strawberry milk and lipstick accord are layered through to contrast with the dark fruits.
Oh, yes.
Melanie's childhood memories are evoked through a soft, nostalgic baby lotion accord.
Oh,
what does accord mean? I don't know. Feminine yet mischievous and unapologetic, the base of the fragrance is wrapped in a sweet layer of burnt caramel.
That doesn't sound sweet.
Complemented by a blend of sinister woods.
Right.
So just to recap, that's fruit, strawberry milk, lipstick, baby lotion, burnt caramel, and sinister wood.
What is a sinister wood? Like a mahogany that looks angry. A nice little...
Yeah.
an evil oak. I mean, come on, what is a sinister wood? Let's not get carried away.
I'm sure there's corners of the internet where you can find out what a sinister wood is, but I don't know if you'd want to go there.
Call Melanie.
Listen, Melanie, if you're listening. Mel. I mean, you know, we had so much fun when you came, and you can see the videos still on the website. You had a great time. We had a great time. Send us a little sample of the aroma so we can have a little sniff. It'll be great audio content for us to sniff it and describe it. It'll go down a storm.
Yeah, just give me the whole bottle. Come
yeah, exactly.
On.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
hold
beyond
that
the
on me.
That's true. We want the promo box and everything. All right, lastly, other big story this week. Keeping with the book theme you're going to be hearing later on through the rest of the show, there's a new Harry Potter play in town, guys. It's an alternative version to the one that's obviously been very successful here in London. And it's all about Hufflepuffs,
Woo!
The Forgotten House,
yes.
Finally getting their day. First of all, would you go? Would you take. Oh, well, we've got Slytherin in the corner. I take it you're not a big fan of the world of Hufflepuff.
I'd go to see what it was like.
Okay.
Can't say that I would appreciate the art.
Okay, good to know.
I'm just kidding. I'd love it. I love a good Hufflepuff.
Well, you did see the legit one this week as well. Finally, after months away. Okay, so I'm not going till June. I'm sure many listeners are the same. Okay. I could not get tickets for months. So try and sum it up for me without any spoilers. I know that's difficult.
Right. It was magical. I am shook. You will be shook.
Okay.
Everyone will be shook.
Right.
I would sell my soul to go again. And if anyone out there has a spare ticket, please at me.
Ooh.
At PopBuzz. I'll pay.
Returning
just
visit.
Please take.
Oh, you'll pay.
Take me back.
Oh, that's
back.
Good.
You'll
how generous
so
of you.
Good.
You'll pay for the incredibly expensive theatre ticket. Wow.
It was worth it.
What a kind soul. What a kind soul paying for
exactly.
the tickets.
How much were tickets again?
£100 each. Oh, but to be fair, that was two.
Oh, that's
shows.
Four both bucks
oh,
combined.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Sorry. That's reasonable.
I'll take that. We've all got £100 to spare, right, guys? Come
yeah.
on, guys. Oh. High life. Well, if you've got any opinions on those stories, please do let us know on pop-buzz.com and find us on the Facebook and Twitter pages. We would love to hear your comments. We are back on Pop Buzz. Guys, our guest today, one of the finest stand-ups in the country, his new book is titled, this is brilliant, Parsnips Buttered, Bamboozle and Boycott Modern Life, One Email at a Time. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up. It's Joe Lycett. He's here.
It's me.
Hello.
Hello.
Lovely to see you, mate. Lovely to see
it's
you.
It's lovely to be here.
Good. So let's start with the title on this, because you have a habit, I've noticed, of picking amazing titles for not only this book but your shows. Can we just run through your last three Edinburgh shows? Had the greatest titles I've ever seen up there.
You're very kind, James. The last one was called That's the Way a Hat Joe Lycett.
Oh,
brilliant. Brilliant pun.
The first one was called Some Lycett Hot, so it sort of went from gentle, the
yes.
gentle pun. And then the second one was If Joe Lycett, then you should have put a ring on it. Which is my personal favourite.
Yeah.
So, but people thought that was niche for some reason.
Not at all.
Niche?
No.
Come on, spare me.
Absolutely.
But I was pleased with that one.
Yeah, it's very, very good. But where does it go next? I mean, we need to find more puns based on the words like it.
God, I mean, this is basically the story of my life.
You've set yourself up. You've set a certain level that we expect now from you.
There's talk of calling it Do You Really Lice It? Is It Wicked? We're loving it, loving it, loving it, we're loving it, Lice It.
And I want it that full. It has to be that
yeah,
full.
Yeah.
That will take up an entire poster
yeah.
and I want that. That's
I think
amazing.
I just because it'd be annoyingly long.
Mm.
And like a brochure, like the Edinburgh Fringe brochure would never, you wouldn't be able to get a quote.
You'd have to have nothing but full page ads.
Just
every single place. It'd be amazing. Well, the book is largely made up of these letters you've kind of become famous for in your stand-up act, and you've done some of them on TV. For people who don't know, just explain what is the kind of basis of these letters and where it kind of comes from.
The basic thing, I will get annoyed at something, normally a parking fine, and I will write a letter about it. But the letter will be sarcastic and irritating for the person receiving it.
Largely. Absolutely.
And then if I get a reply, then I might reply again or whatever. And then, so the best ones are in the book. But it's a sort of self-help book as well. You know, they try to give you some tips on how to take a good selfie.
Some nice life advice.
How come you went for letters rather than emails?
Well, they are emails.
Oh, they are emails.
Oh, okay.
Actually, there are
sounds grander.
Yeah, there are a couple of letters, but actually it's mainly emails. Yeah.
That's okay then. I was going to say, because you're going to give yourself a lot more trouble writing letters. You have to go and get stamps.
Yeah.
Who's got time for that?
Yeah, and also you don't know if they've received it.
Yeah.
And it takes ages.
You want the instant response. But how do you find these people then? Because I know you've explained in your stand-up act, like sometimes it's mates now approaching you saying,
can you
have a go at this
person? Well, it's not even mates. it's just like people tweet me saying, like, how do I get out of this parking fine?
Oh, wow.
But, and I'm happy to help because I've got nothing else on, so I may as well. So, yeah, but, like, people do sort of try and kind of get me to... My friend Will often just forward on an email that he's got saying, can you be my representative for this? And it'll be someone like from Nigeria offering him $10 billion or whatever.
Yeah.
Happy to help, happy to help.
Any particular faves among the ones you've kind of done so far?
Oh, there's loads. That's the thing, like, there's so many, and, like, I've been doing them for years.
They're all quite different as well. That's the kind of fun thing. Like, my personal favourite from the one I've saw, what was it, Matt Baker kicking a pigeon?
That was the one I was just
At that. That was just incredible,
I try and sell stories to newspapers of things that haven't happened. So just like ridiculous stories, but things that sort of feel feasible. So yeah, Matt Baker kicking a pigeon, I got quite close to selling that story to the Sun newspaper. But I've done, you know, it's lots of like celebrities being violent to animals. Alison Hammond punching a cat. That kind of thing.
You could see that being a Sun on Sunday headline. Yeah, I could definitely see that coming out.
Yeah. I would buy.
Hammond would buy in cat battering shocker. Yeah. I could see it.
I almost want to just keep saying that just in case it's sort of people go, Alison Hammond, isn't she the one that... Just because it's sort of in the back of people's minds.
I heard that somewhere.
I heard somewhere that Alison Hammond punched a cat.
Yeah. The other thing you've been speaking about a lot in your stand-up act recently was these pretentious comments on Instagram, which just... Ugh. Oh, I know it's your pet peeve,
Cara Delevingne,
right?
Spare me.
I was going to say, is she your main culprit, do you think? Is that the worst of the celebrity ones?
No, loads.
All right, let's rattle off a few big ones.
Well, Cara Delevingne is bad. Look, the Kardashians are all dreadful for
her. Sure.
Cheryl Cole, not so much these days because she can't get hold of her Instagram because she's blocked everyone because she's... Mainly because of me.
Yeah, that's it.
On all of
you are to blame for this.
But then you just... it's normally like people who have got a really privileged, lovely life who will like present some kind of vapid thing of like, be kind to people and you'll be being kind to yourself. And you're like, all right, okay. But, you know, if you're not a multimillionaire and you're struggling to make ends meet, I think, you know... Make every day special. Every day, you know, down the job centre trying to find food. You know, it just really gets stuck in my craw.
Yes.
When you're sort of being given wisdom by somebody who's in no position to give wisdom.
Exactly. My thing is people that go travelling and they're like, find your authentic self.
Yeah.
And, you know, be unique. And like all their pictures are the same. They're all going to the same place.
Yeah, they've all been to the exact same bar in Thailand on a beach somewhere.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, shut up.
Yeah, there's no originality.
They're doing like sort of like yoga pictures where they're like next to a pool or whatever, kind of really at peace. We're anxious creatures. We need to be, because otherwise you'd get run over immediately. You need to be
very, very
aware.
True.
Things going to try and kill you at all times. So you need to be like nervous and a bit of a wreck. Like, don't tell me to be calm. I can't be calm. I'll die immediately. I'll like drown in the bath.
I wasn't nervous, but now I am.
Yeah, yeah, you've done it now. You've really, really done it now.
Yeah. Any specific ones that people have sent me, I actually can't. I'll come back to you on that one.
Please do. No, I am intrigued. Well, you had some amazing ones you made up yourself, though, which was very, very entertaining on badges and stuff, which did amuse me. Yeah. Any faves there?
Well, I mean, the classic is the life is like a box of chocolates. It doesn't last long if you're fat.
Which is better than the film quote, really. It really is. If Forrest Gump had gone down that, it would have been a much shorter and far more entertaining piece of filmmaking. It's true. Harsh and true. I enjoy that.
You're laughing because it resonates with some part of you that knows it's true.
Yeah, absolutely. True. Very, very true. You just tell it like it is, Joe. You always
say, oh my God.
You're so real.
So wise.
Guys, I'm just real.
Just so thoughtful.
Absolutely. So the DVD's coming out as well, November 21st. That's the way I heard Joe Lowe sit, I take
that's it. Yeah, it's a recording of the show that I toured and then a few extra bits.
Well, what I remember about you from your early days, I mean, we didn't really cross paths, but you were like a couple of years above me at Manchester University.
Yeah.
And you just went out on this creative path from there. Like, it's a good city to kind of attempt to write your own stuff and do that kind of thing, but it's admirable. I think a lot of students kind of still look for that outlet in these cities and maybe don't quite know where to look. I mean, how did you find it first starting out as a student?
Well, I've always had this sort of, it's kind of how the book came about, really. This sort of when I really get an idea and I want to pursue it, it's very difficult to stop me. Like, I kind of get one track mind about, right, I'm going to get really good at stand-up or whatever. But I also have a very scattered approach to creativity. So I want to try lots of different art forms, really. So drag, you know, is kind of one of the things at the minute I'm interested in. So when I was at Manchester, I was doing, like, I did a little radio show on Fuse FM. So I was doing,
I remember
like,
it well. Radio what presenting. A lovely radio station
that
was.
What a great station that was. All seven of our listeners had a great time. I was doing that, and I was trying acting, and I was making films, and then stand-up came about. So different techniques work for different people, but I do think just trying different art forms and seeing how they work for you and if you engage with them is a good way of, if you want to be, you know, in creative industries. Because I think people will kind of look at other creatives and go, well, I want to do that. Like, I want to be a great painter. And then that might not actually be what, they might be better at sculpting or whatever, but sure. They don't know it until they try. Yeah. You might be exceptional at sculpting and you just never knew.
They just want to try something. They want to be in that world.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually each person's career is their own. So my approach in Manchester and kind of ongoing is to just try different stuff. And that's where the book came from, because I hadn't written a book and I wanted to try it. So here we are.
Ooh. Absolutely. I'm very successful as well. The book is Parsnips Buttered, Bamboozle and Boycott Modern Life, One Email at a Time. DVD's out November 21st as well. Lovely Joe Lycett there, wasn't he fantastic? Let's give him a little round of applause there. What a lovely bloke.
Come back.
Really nice guy. And it's a hilarious book we've been reading, haven't we, Woody? Actually, yeah, we got sent some copies. It is genuinely hilarious. We really do recommend that. If you're a fan of his stand-up, you're going to really, really enjoy that one. And keeping with the book theme, it's time for a brand new segment on the podcast. This is something I like to call the Pop Buzz Book Club. Now, we're all avid readers, mainly in the world of pop culture, but we're avid readers. I thought it might be nice to have a bit of an intellectual conversation and stretch out the world.
Really?
Come
we're
on.
In the wrong place,
have
you listened to the podcast?
Let's expand our minds, Woody. Let's expand our minds here about the world of literary happenings. Yeah, I've already messed it up. There you go. I'm clearly showing my failings in this world. I don't even know the correct description. But yes, this week we're going to look at the world of YouTuber books. We all have many questions. What inspires these YouTubers? Why do they choose to release these books so close to Christmas? We may never know the answers, but someone who may is a genuine friend of the show. He works for our sister site, wetheunicorns.com, for all the latest kooky japes and updates on the world of YouTube. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is. It's Benedict Townsend.
Hello.
Yes.
Wonderful to be here on my favourite podcast in the whole world.
Oh, stop it.
Doesn't he have a great podcast voice?
He does.
Hello, everybody. How are you doing?
You do. Oh, a voice very much fit for
Let me just say, I know you're a huge Zoella fan, James, and she of course has a book club. I assume you based it on that.
Of course. I'm guessing that most of the things we talk about are going to have a new sticker in WH Smith after this. Pop Buzz approval or Pop Buzz failure. Now we must. You have your own YouTube channel, of course. Team of Cups. No, that's what it's called, isn't it?
Nailed it.
Team of Cups.
Cup of tea.
Rate,
comment, subscribe, guys.
Yeah, of course. Please do keep an eye on that. But no, you've brought along three different YouTuber books for us today.
I have indeed.
We're going to try and sum them up a little bit, and then we're going to hear a quote and try and guess if this is a quote from the actual book or one that you've made up.
Indeed. I also have some quotes I'd like you to just help me comprehend and analyse and work out what's going on.
I'm very good at that.
That sounds wonderful.
Wonderful.
All right, what's the first book you brought for us?
The first book I've got, I'm going to hold it up even though it's a podcast, is called Generation Next by Mr. Ollie White, friend of my website. Possibly a friend of yours soon. It's about a young boy named Jack who is not Ollie White, but clearly is Ollie White. And he starts his own social media networking thing with some pals and becomes a global internet star and then has to deal with the fame.
It does seem to be a theme with these YouTuber books. They do write, I guess write what you know, but it is all resulting in, and they become an internet superstar.
It's like, it reminds me of those Katie Price books. You know what I mean? That, like, a trilogy.
Thinly veiled.
Like, oh, I wonder what it could be based on. She was a glamour model, then went into a jungle.
And then our heroine married Peter Andre. Yeah, it works.
Who is this mysterious girl?
Yeah. Shout out to any US listeners, by the way, who definitely get all those references. Right, yes. Okay, so it's revolving around a plot similar to his real life, is what we're saying.
It's indeed. And you'd think, becoming internet famous, it's all fun and games, everything's great. No, there are some challenges and hurdles to overcome.
Wow.
And you'll find out about them in the book.
Oh,
fantastic.
Okay.
All right, well, let's hear some extracts, shall we? Let's try and...
Okay, well, I've got some various lines from the book. The first one, this is from the book, but I want
this
you to
genuine.
Help me get my head around it,
okay.
Right? Hunter sighed long and loud.
What?
What's a loud sigh?
A long, loud sigh.
What's how long can you stretch a sigh out for?
Hunter's out.
Right. I want to see who has the longest sigh.
Oh,
Katie,
God.
Ready? Three, two, one. Off you go. a sterling effort, Woody. Kate's the winner on that one. Very well done. Very well done.
Woody might have died.
I was creeping myself out there.
It was so long and loud, that sigh. It was frightening. Okay.
Okay, I'll give you some quotes. You can tell me if they're real or fake.
Okay,
how do we feel about that?
This is exciting. Let's do it.
Some of these I've made up, some of them are real. Here's the quote. I mean, there I was, kissing an incredibly sexy older woman in a swimming pool. And yes, it was awesome.
Oh, no, fake.
Fake?
Yeah,
what are
no,
we thinking?
I don't think Ollie White would put
it's
that
not
to
Ollie White.
I think it's correct.
Oh, it's Jack.
Who the heck is Ollie White? This is Jack.
I think it's real, and I think it's potentially from some kind of dream sequence. That's my theory.
No, I think it's real.
Well, friends, not only is it real, it's not from a dream sequence.
Oh, God.
This is a pretty raunchy book.
So it's a plot twist.
Yeah, this is...
50 Shades of Ollie. Is this what we're talking?
50 Shades of Ollie, yeah. Mate. This is for young, wild people. On that note, I've got another quote here, and you can tell me whether I've made this up or it's from the book.
Okay.
Even if you couldn't quite remember her name, you knew her face, and if you were a young, straight guy, you might be familiar with other parts of her body too.
If you're a young, straight guy.
Right.
That's the quote.
Again, that's... so weird, I think it's true. That's my theory. What were we thinking, guys?
Well, based on the last quote...
Well, yeah, if this
true.
Is the line we're going down, is that real?
That is real. That's 100%
God.
Real.
What is this book about?
What's the context of that?
I think she's supposed to be like a glamour model or something. You know,
that's nice, just a bit of casual objectification. All right, fair enough. All right, well, let's move on to the next book you've brought anyway. What else have you got for us in your little YouTuber book pile? Let's go
save that one for last. Let's go to this one next. This is Tanya Bakes. By Tanya Burr. Quite a straightforward book. It's a book about baking with recipes in it.
Fair enough. Okay.
Very
nice
wholesome.
And simple. Is this
very
what she wholesome. Does on her channel? Forgive my lack of knowledge. Is this what she does on her channel?
Well, Tanya is a jack of all trades. Not Jack from the previous book, a different Jack. But one of the things she is known for is her baking, and there's many great recipes in
wonderful.
Here.
Wonderful. Good to hear. All
can
right.
Can I have a look at that?
Of course you can.
Of course you can. Let's hear a little extract
recipes.
While Woody peruses.
Okay. Is this a real quote or a fake quote?
Okay.
Preheat the oven to 170 degrees Celsius. Line the cake tin with greaseproof paper.
I think that's...
How many degrees?
170.
See, that sounds like a preheat the oven. That's the first line of a recipe, and I refuse to believe that the first line of every recipe in this book is not, hi, guys, just doing some baking today.
I'm looking at the autumn pavlova, and that's very similar to that.
What,
so I'm gonna
how
say it's
how
true.
High does it say the temperature should be?
Well, on the pavlova, it's 150.
Okay.
Oh, I see. What was the temperature?
170.
Right, okay.
Is it the apple and blackberry crumble?
I don't know.
Is it real or fake, Benedict?
I promise I've read the book, but I don't know. It's fake. It's actually 180 degrees
Good
Celsius.
Good to know.
Okay.
It's not what it says here, Benedict.
All right,
that's
mate. All right.
Recipe.
Final book. You're saving the best to last.
Best
here.
To
what
last,
you got?
So to speak, is The Scrapbook of My Life.
Oh, you're getting in so much trouble for that one.
Or as I like to call it, The Scrapbook of My Life. Alfie Days is a well-known YouTuber who you'll know as Mrs. Zoe Sugg, a.k.a. Zoella. Mm. And this is one of many books he's written, and it's about his life. But it's also a scrapbook that you can fill in yourself. So there's some.
I'll save himself some of the work. Oh. That's nice.
Well, that's your interpretation. I think it's a scrapbook.
All right. Okay. So, Alfie Days, the scrapbook of his life. Give us some quote. Let's see if this is real or not. Come on.
Okay. I'm the friend that will call you up at 10 p.m. and say, let's go do something fun, and you'll probably be in bed asleep. Ha ha.
I think he would do that in real life. On the limited knowledge I have of the work of Mr. Days, I believe that's the kind of attitude he would hold. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think he would pull a kooky jape like that.
I think he would. I think he's an early morning kooky type.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go real.
You guys couldn't be more correct.
Hey, there it is.
Fantastic.
Wonderful stuff. Well, Benedict, it's been... I feel like we have a real... insight into the world of YouTuber books now. All of those are available in the shops right now. Perfect Christmas gifts. God, I mean, we're better than like the arts bit of Newsnight now, aren't we? I mean, this is real highbrow.
Can I just say the autumn pavlova did look really nice.
Maybe we should make it
on next week's podcast. Just audio of us in a kitchen. It'd be lovely.
Guys, next time I'm here, I will bring one along for you guys.
Oh, inspiration.
Thanks.
We'll
next
do
week.
It again.
We'll
do
have
it again.
You back.
All right, guys. If you've read any of those books, please do let us know. We want to hear your thoughts. All right, go on pop-buzz.com and find us on Facebook and Twitter now. We're back on Pop Buzz, guys. Our guest today, you'll know from the hilarious podcast, My Dad Wrote a Porno, because his dad did indeed write a porno. Ladies and gentlemen, Jamie Morton's here. Give it up.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, guys.
Not at all, not at all. So, I mean, we're all very familiar and big fans, but let's just explain, in case someone's not heard it, what is the concept behind your incredible podcast and how did it all come together?
Very self-explanatory. My dad just wrote a porno one day. Great way to spend your retirement writing a novel. And he weirdly sent me the pages, which was an interesting choice for him to do.
Well, for proofing?
I don't know why, and I haven't asked him why. I don't really want to go down that rabbit hole. And then I read it and realised it was erotica, because I thought it would just be like swashbuckling pirates or like, you know, a Bond thing.
Some adventure-based material.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure.
And it was porn, so that was great. and so I just took it to a pub lunch with my mates. We got really drunk and just ripped it to pieces.
Of course, as you would.
In a warm way, obviously, love. Yeah. And we kind of just thought, oh my God, we should do something with it. And then that's kind of how the podcast kind of came into being. We thought, let's just do what we did in the pub and record it and see if people like it.
Absolutely. So on the podcast, you're reading through each chapter of this book entitled Belinda Blinks, the erotic story of our heroine Belinda that we love so dearly.
It's a seminal masterpiece.
It really, really is.
Truly.
But now it's blown up. So not only are you reading chapters, you're bringing in celebrity guests, you're having footnotes, extra podcasts and everything. I mean, how is your dad taking it, first of all, that it's become this phenomenon?
Dad's loving it.
Okay, good.
I mean, dad's work, if we can call it his work, is reaching literally millions of people, which, you know, for someone who wrote erotica in his pants in his shed at the back of the garden.
Now, was he really writing his pants in his shed?
I mean, honestly.
Well,
I don't know if he was in his pants, but I imagine he was, because he doesn't really... he's very informal.
Okay, he's a casual gentleman.
He's an informal dresser.
That's fair enough.
But yeah, he writes in the garden shed.
That's amazing.
He calls the pavilion.
Was there any...
The pavilion!
One second. He calls the shed the pavilion. Yeah. I'm so fascinated by the writing process of this man. You've no idea.
Incredible.
You've no idea. So I'm going to just take myself off to the pavilion in my pants.
Exactly.
And start composing this
box of chili and chardonnay, and that's it. He's
oh my God. That's the perfect image. Can that's exactly imagine? What I want it to be. That's so good.
But did you see it coming at all? Was there any like hints when you were growing up? Like...
Carry on.
But you know, when you were growing up, he was like writing or were there any hints?
He was a mechanic for ages. I never even thought that he wanted to write. I don't think he does want to write. I think he's just bored.
Right.
And I thought, because he heard about 50 Colours. Oh, God, I call it 50 Colours.
Yeah,
right
yeah,
now,
yeah, yeah.
He calls it 50 Shades.
Yeah.
And he just thought, well, if she can do it and make loads of money off it, I can definitely do it.
It's not a bad attitude.
He's in it now. Well, 6 book deal.
Yeah, there it is.
On.
There it is.
Exactly. But the thing is, it's all backfired because he's been legitimised through the podcast. So now he actually might become a rival to E.R. James.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Come on.
I'd certainly prefer it, I must say. let's be honest. That'd be good.
Well, I was going to ask, has it changed your view of your father in a way? Because that's like going from, you know, the guy that kind of cooked your dinner or, you know, took you to sports or whatever, and now you're reading, in some ways, like his private thoughts in kind of fiction
form.
God,
no, don't. You see, that's where I get into dodgy territory with my own psychosis.
You don't need to feel guilty. It's okay. It's okay.
It is weird to read the erotic fantasies of the guy that took you fishing as a boy. That is odd. But I like to think that it's kind of so of another... Because he writes under the pseudonym Rocky Flintstone. Mm.
Which, by the way, what a pseudonym. Can we say that? Like, if you're going to have a pen name, that's the one to go with.
Yeah,
exactly. So I kind of like to think that it's Rocky's fantasies, not my dad's.
Mm. Nice.
If that makes
good
sense.
Save.
That's how I'm justifying it to myself.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Well, the other crazy thing is the amount of celebrity fans that have come out of the woodwork. So you've had Daisy Ridley on your podcast about your dad's porn.
I know.
It's just amazing. Any other ones we kind of don't know about? Have you had any kind of weird encounters with famous types who've shown an interest in the work?
Yeah, like, well, I mean, people get in touch with us all the time. Like Nicholas Hoult got in touch the other day.
Oh, nice.
Just being like, love it. And we had Michael Sheen on the show yesterday, whenever that was.
Wow.
And he was comparing it to like Hamlet and stuff. And we were like,
wow.
You've got to slow down there.
One day it's going to end up like English A-level.
Yeah, honestly.
Belinda Blinks.
But the worrying thing was that he gave a really erudite, like quite compelling argument as to why dad might be the next
Right, this is clearly your next project, then, is it? A discussion that, like, what would be the GCSE questions on Belinda Blinked? Like, you know, I want to see this, yes. Well, the blouse is a metaphor for innocence. That's what I want.
Well, that's kind of what we did our book about, because it's kind of, we kind of treated Belinda Blinked as if it were a literary masterpiece. Mm-hmm. And our book is kind of a spoof study guide of the text.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, like some spark notes.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, exactly.
So great.
Yeah, so that's kind of how we approach the book. So, you know, maybe people will look at it in years to come and think that it's an actual textbook.
Well, now that the notes are there, it's open to be put on various courses. I like that. Talk about yourself personally. Like, were you ever reading any kind of fan fiction as a kid? Were you aware of that world even? Just
no,
out there
I don't really... That makes me sound terrible, but I'm not really a big reader. and neither's my dad. And, you know, that doesn't come across in his writing. So no, not really. And Erotica was a real kind of exploration for all three of us, actually, James and Alice. Like, none of us have read any of it. Because, I don't know, it just doesn't seem to be that in vogue anymore. I think it's kind of an old school thing. Although,
like Mills and Boone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Isn't it?
And the other thing was, we were like, maybe this is really good erotica. Like, we don't even know.
Yeah, right? where is the measuring?
Know, we have
yeah.
nothing to compare it to. Maybe he is a genius of the medium. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, we've read some howlers online, so I'm sure we could compare at some point. Yeah. It's a fascinating world, that, isn't it? I was trying desperately hard to try and see if there'd been any fan fiction written about Belinda.
I think there has been.
I couldn't find any. Right, okay.
Yeah. Where do we need to go? Where?
Yeah. Show me the Wattpad page.
No. Send it to us now.
Yeah. Do you want to read it? Really?
I find that fascinating. That, like, the fan community would get so behind it and want to see this character even more. Yeah. It's a nice thing. It's incredible.
No, it is great. Well, Dad, I have to say, Dad's not the best writer in the world, but one thing he can do amazingly well is create characters.
Right, sure.
Like, because, you know, characters appear for all of a sentence, a chapter at best, but they live on. They become this, like, indelible creation that people talk about. And we had our live shows and people come dressed up as the Duchess Helga. And,
wow.
Yeah, people get really into it. There's cosplay, guys.
Proper cosplay going on. Well, speaking of live shows, I mean, you kind of, I think you alluded to it before on an episode of the podcast, but talking about, like, the movie version potentially and the musical version, which I would personally love to see. All right, so let's go through movie first. Where did we leave it? What's the kind of dream casting we're thinking for the characters?
We are casting as we go. So every guest that comes on the show, we ask them who they want to play.
Nice.
So Daisy Ridley wants to play the Duchess.
Very good.
In prosthetics, because she's a very young lion.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
The Duchess isn't. Who else? Elijah Wood wants to play the youngish man.
Okay.
Who is the receptionist at the Horse and Jockey Pub, guys. Quite the plum role.
It's a hell of a role. I mean, he's only skyrocketing up since Lord of the Rings, isn't he? Let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not peaked yet.
Actually, there was a little bit of an awkward moment because two people wanted to play the same character. Michael Sheen and Thomas Middleditch from Silicon Valley both want to play Dr. Robbins.
Ooh.
So, you know, they're going to have to fight it out. They're going to have to get themselves on tape, you know. we're going to do a proper casting session.
I know we joke about this, but do you ever see, like, you could do it as an online sketch or something, like in a sort of a drunk history style, you guys reading over these acts? I mean, is it something that's ever actually crossed your mind? Maybe you've done the book, maybe moving into a slightly different medium in a fun way?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think the whole project's taken us by surprise, just how much people enjoy it. So we are looking at ways to kind of expand the world of Belinda. So we are looking into things like that. I think you guys know, because you do this, like, doing a podcast is actually quite a time consuming thing to do. So we've been writing our book and we've been doing our live shows, so we kind of want to just make sure that each thing that we do is as good as it can be, because we don't want to kind of just do everything really quickly and then it not be great.
No, of course, that makes sense.
But we are very excited about the future of My Dad Wrote a Porno.
Any particular pet projects you're kind of mulling over that you want to drop in?
Well, like you said, like, you know, the movie, the musical, all conversations that are happening.
I would love to see a Belinda Linked musical. That'd be so good.
I want to be in it.
Yeah,
I want to be Belinda.
I could see it. I could see it coming soon to the London Palladium. Woodrow White is Belinda.
There's a great heritage, though, in musicals of, like, cross-dressing
and
stuff.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. It'd be fantastic. What kind of musical stars would we be going for here? Come on, let's hash this out. I'm very intrigued.
Well, we had Rachel Bloom, who does Crazy Ex-Girlfriend show over in America.
She's great.
She's amazing, and her show is like a musical TV show. So we got some pointers from her. And she was like, it's got to be like, it's got to have like the cutting edgeness of Hamilton, then with like a bit of Book of Mormon thrown in there. So she was like, so she's our go-to guru really for the musical. Wow. Because I don't know that much about musicals. So I think Book of Mormon kind of a bit surreal. The book's just so brilliant.
Yeah.
To just
when you've got the source material.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
Yeah. It's really true though. It would be a fascinating musical to watch. I honestly believe that. Oh, but in the best possible way. It would be so, so good.
With
I'd be delighted.
Music.
Yeah, exactly.
Some Fosse numbers here.
Oh, yeah. God, the dance.
It's just full Fosse.
Imagine exactly. The choreography. Yes. I can't. Right, okay.
A lineup of clips. The can-can.
Tap dancing, please. Come on. If we're going to do it, we want to see. We'll give the people what they want here, please.
Tap dancing vaginas. Great.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, what podcast are you listening to at the minute? You got any recommendations on the sideline?
Yeah, I mean, I love Alec Baldwin's Here's the Thing.
He's very good, isn't he?
Right. I'm obsessed with the American election at the minute, and Morning Joe and MSNBC show.
Oh, yeah, I do watch bits of his, actually, yeah.
Yeah, and that isn't really a podcast, it's just the audio of the TV show, but I listen to it every morning because I'm obsessed. And terrified.
Do we think Trump or Hillary listened to My Dad Wrote a Porno? That'd be quite interesting, actually.
Well, there was the whole thing of Trump grabbing...
Exactly.
Oh, yes, I saw that
And
today.
There's a line in Belinda Blinked where someone consensually grabs a cervix. Mm. So
what you're saying is that perhaps Mr. Rocky Flintstone might be having a US cabinet position very shortly if everything goes wrong.
Yeah.
The UK ambassador.
That's what we imagine.
Won.
Do you know what? In a Trump administration, that wouldn't be that outrageous.
No, it's true. I could see that. And I would, you know, I'm all for it. I'm frankly all for it. Whatever's going to take the edge off if he wins,
I think that will cheer
me up ever so slightly. Well, Jamie, it's been lovely talking to you. The book is My Dad Wrote a Porno. It is a transcription of the podcast. And you can find the podcast as well on iTunes and all those other excellent, excellent places. Best of luck with it all. Thanks
so
for coming
much
to see us.
Guys.
Jamie Morton, guys.
Yay!
There he is. Hi, guys. If you're enjoying this week's edition of the Pop Buzz podcast, don't forget you can hear all our previous episodes and subscribe over on SoundCloud and over on iTunes. And while you're there, why not leave us a nice little review? Go on. You know you're having a good time. We're on iTunes. We're on Audio Boom. We're on TuneIn. We're on SoundCloud. And of course, we're on pop-buzz.com.
Got a question. We've got a question. Can you help us out?
Thanks again to Jamie Morton. There he is. What a wonderful guy he was.
Yes.
Again, if you've never checked out the podcast, it is genuinely hilarious, isn't it? We're all kind of obsessed with it, and the book is fantastic too. Please do go and look it up. Time now to finish, though, with the question of the week. And Benedict's still here from earlier. We're going to chip in.
Hi.
Yes. So, question of the week. You know how it works. We have a big question based around some of the stories from the week, and I want the funniest story or most interesting story from Woody and Katie, and they will win the point. Keeping with the book theme, it's a very simple question this week. What is the title of your autobiography and why? It's very, very simple. We're all going to write one. We know we'll all reach that grand old age where we feel like we have a book within us that needs to come out onto the page. I want to know what you will be titling it. I want to know what that cover image is going to look like. I want the details. All right. So, Woody, going to come to you first, mate. Talk me through the story of your life, my friend.
So mine's very much inspired by my time here at Pop Buzz. It's called The Content Gardener. And it's kind of like a philosophical rumination on the ethics of being a content hoe. That's kind of the idea. I've got some chapter titles.
Oh, God.
Did you realise you did the second pun with hoe there as well? Garden-based pun.
Amazing.
Nice. Well done. Well done.
Chapter one, why has BuzzFeed already written everything?
Yep.
That's just,
Shout out to those guys. They don't need the free promo, but shout out.
I know why the content writer creates nihilistic memes. So that's kind of a play on Maya Angelou's I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings.
Oh, we all got the reference.
Yeah.
We all got it.
In that the first three words are the same and then it's completely different.
Yes.
It's a lot less poetic and profound, but a lot more Rare Pepe shoving forks into electrical plugs.
Delightful.
And at the end, it would just be excerpts from my unpublished writing, including a think piece I was too scared to write. Harambe deserved to be shot. He should have known better. And that's my book.
Send your complaint letters, care of Woodrow Wright at Cincinnati Zoo. Right, very nice, very interesting. Nice mix of topics in there as well, actually. I quite like that. All right, Katie, topic, what's your book? Hit me with it. Come on. I want a title.
I'm so lucky because I was going to do that exact thing, but I had changed my original title to a chapter in my book.
Oh, okay.
So my book is called Harry Potter and the Abysmal Life Choices. It's a collection of essays and confessions from yours truly.
Nice.
Oh. So chapter one, obviously, The Girl Who Lived. Chapter two.
Obviously.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. We all jump there.
Chapter two, Life and Times of a Professional Fangirl, which is me spilling the tea on every famous person I've ever met.
Nice.
Chapter three.
I'd read that, actually.
Jaeger Bombs and Slut Drops. Subtitle, Uni Behind the Scenes. Self-explanatory. Chapter four, LOL, Remember That Time Kylie Minogue Retweeted Me, which is just a collection.
Hang on, that gets a separate chapter from the celebrity-based chapter.
That's basically this podcast, story. You keep
chapter five, which was my original title, which was called Looking for Content in All the Wrong Places.
That's a great title.
Hacks for Content Editors, because I'm nice too.
Yeah.
Chapter six, The Art of Sleuthing, which is life lessons I've learned from Jessica Fletcher from Murder, She Wrote, obviously, again. Chapter 7, Validate Me. One Girl's Quest for Internet Verification.
Again, I feel like Validate Me is the subtext of the entire book.
There's no writing in that chapter. It's just, it's a work in progress. I'll let you know.
Nice.
That's all it says.
Oh, you guys not verified on Twitter?
No.
Pipe down.
Oh, that's weird.
Hashtag Team of Cups.
Well, I don't know what chapter I'm on, but the next one is Lost was the best TV show, so don't argue with me. And it's a 108-page essay about the sheer brilliance of the hit ABC drama series.
Silence in the room.
And the last chapter is just titled Has Anyone Got Leo DiCaprio's Phone Number? And that's
slightly thirsty.
It's a blank
ending.
Blank page like Alfie Days. So if anyone...
and yet in a very different
fashion. If anyone has it, they can write it, send it back to me. My address is at the bottom of the page.
Nice. Fascinating mix. Benedict, what are your initial thoughts on that? Any preferences?
Well, James, I've got a little question for Woody, firstly. Your book is obviously a pun on The Constant Gardener, I think, which is a film. Do you know anything about what that is?
No.
Okay, good to know.
As for Katie, I do like how you establish in chapter one that you are alive.
Yes.
Just in case people think perhaps a ghost.
Yeah. Indeed. I do also like the self-help aspect of yours, Katie, I must admit. You're offering advice. You're not just spilling your guts out.
It's educational, inspiring.
Plus, as we've said, a nice blank page for people to do some doodling on themselves. You know what? I'm leaning towards Katie on this. I'm going to give her the win. I'm sorry, Woody. It was a very solid effort. It's very high-minded. Maya Angelou references and the like. I mean, I respect you for it. But the fact is, a broad appeal and a self-help element are bringing me into Katie there. I think fair enough. Well done. Katie's the winner there. Well done.
Well done.
Bye.
Good work. Your prize, Katie, your prize. It's a very nice prize this week, actually. Copies of the new My Dad Wrote a Porno and Joe Lycett books. How about that? Is that nice? Woody, I'm afraid you forfeit. You've got to read those three YouTuber books, mate. I'm so sorry.
Here you go, pal.
I'm so, so sorry. Thanks again to Benedict, by the way.
Thank you so much, guys.
Pleasure.
Lovely to be here.
Come back in. WeTheUnicorns.com is the website. Do go check it out. And that's about it for this week, guys. Thanks again to all our guests. We'll be back next week with another set of guests. Keep an eye on the Twitter and the Snapchat to see who we've been chatting to in the office. But for now, it is goodbye from Woody.
Bye.
another tribute to Vine there before you goodbye. Nice. It is goodbye from Katie.
Bye.
And it's goodbye from me. See you next week.
Vocal warm-ups, everyone. Harambe.
How many days can Harambe bay? If Harambe could...